Well, today is an awesome day. Of course, when you know Jesus, every day is an awesome day, right? This is just another awesome day. But, you know, Pastor Kelly spoke just a little bit at the beginning of service there about faith's promise and how we have eight partners that we partner with through faith's promise in eight different countries all around the world. And so today, one of those partner teams is with us, Pastor Peter and Phoebe Sosi from Kampala, Uganda, Africa. They're with us today. And Pastor Peter's got a word, and he's going to come up and speak to us in just a minute. But first, I'm going to ask Rick to come up and just talk to us a little bit, and then he'll turn it over to Pastor Peter in just a moment.
Thank you, Howie. I want to just take a moment to savor the moment. Your worship has been wonderful. Your hospitality has been wonderful. Howie and Melanie have treated us so well, and we were very comfortable in their home last night. We were really looking forward to being with you. You can't imagine, but I think maybe you can. I think those of you who know Peter and Phoebe have looked forward to being with them, as I always do, when they come. I want to tell you a little bit about our story, how we started, maybe even a little bit about myself, that how we came in relationship with you. And so the story starts way back with Melanie's family that I've been very close to since moving to Murfreesboro, Tennessee in 1983. Her brother Trent lives next door to me. And now her mom lives next door to me as well, and we're very grateful to have her in our neighborhood. Through them, we knew Howard and Melanie. Now, Peter and Phoebe, that story is not quite as old, but it still goes back quite a ways. In the year 2000, I first went to Uganda. I went because I had heard that revival was taking place there, and I wanted to see what that looked like. I couldn't believe some of the stories. They were beyond my experience. And I thought, I want to go and see for myself. So I went. And when I went, I met Peter. I met Peter first because he had a car. And the senior pastor who invited me didn't. And so they picked me up at the airport. And then we took Peter's car and dropped him off at the house and kept his car all week. While he went to work at the post office, Phoebe went to work at her business. We would go by and pick up their children, take them to school, pick them up in the afternoon, drop them off, and then use the car all day to do so many things in church growth. But what I learned was that revival there came out of suffering. And it's important to understand, we pray for revival here, but do we pray for it if it means that first we must suffer? Well, they were suffering. They were suffering on many levels. They had had some dictators in the country. AIDS had come, and that was worse than the dictators. More people died from AIDS than the dictators. There was no treatment for AIDS at that time. There were 2 million orphans under the age of 16 out of a population of 28 million people. AIDS kills the working age people, right? So it left grandparents with children to take care of, and they couldn't feed them. So in the midst of this, as I met people in the church, I heard about Phoebe, who had volunteered to represent this very large church of several thousand members to be responsible for the care of the sick and the widows and the orphans. When I saw what she was doing, of course, my heart was touched. And when I saw the faithfulness of Peter, that he would give us his car and he would inconvenience himself for the kingdom, it was the beginning of seeing a pattern over and over of them giving of themselves and sacrificing for the kingdom. Well, of course, my heart connected with them. And I began to say, how can we come alongside and help? What's the role of the church in America? Why are we so blessed? What are we supposed to do with these blessings? How do we remain under the blessing of God and not lose what he has provided for us, partly because of the faithfulness of those who went before us? Those are just questions I think the church in America should always be asking. So I could go on and on. Let me just express my gratitude to this church for your faithfulness, for seeing so many people volunteering in the kingdom of God. It encourages us. And for your generosity. As Paul said, your generosity has resulted in much thanksgiving to God. There are so many stories. I don't think Peter's going to be telling you stories today about that, but we'll be with you, and we would love to share with you what has happened with the funds that you've sent to the ministry. So, Peter and Phoebe, if you'll come up with that introduction, I want us to hear from them to see what God has put on their hearts as a message for us today.
Thank you.
And maybe let's pray together before I release the microphone. You know, the Bible says that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And God has actually put that relationship within Peter and I. And I'm grateful because I'm a better person for it. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we come with hearts of gratitude among your people, Father, rejoicing in your praises, celebrating your goodness to us. Father, I ask you this morning to speak to us through Peter by the power of your Spirit, to speak words that bring us encouragement and hope, but also instruction and information about your word and insights into our lives that only you have, God, that only your Spirit can reveal to us. We thank you for this moment in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's so good to be back here in Waynesville. And it's such a great, great, great joy for us. And the hospitality has been wonderful. We slept in a very nice bed. We had a very nice breakfast. Our hearts are really glad. And even more particularly, the way you have received us yesterday, we had a great time with the leadership of this church. They really showed us a lot of love. We were amazed. You know, when something goes beyond you, you feel, God, is this real? So we want to thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for supporting us. I just want to thank Rick. Rick has walked with us 20 years on this journey. 22 years, right? Yes. And it's been a real journey of faith and trusting the Lord. And he has been someone who doesn't come along to exert what he thinks is right. Every time his question is, what do you think the Lord is telling you to do? And then he says, let's go for it. You know, there is difference. There is someone who will say, you know, I want you to do this. My partnership and my relationship is about this. But then there is the one who comes alongside and says, what is God saying? And let's do it. And God has seen a lot of fruit out of this relationship. And like you've heard, that's when we got to know Melanie and Howie. We've been so blessed ever since we got to know you that you opened your heart. You received us with a lot of love. Thank you so much. We really love you and appreciate you. Let me ask my wife to greet you.
I love singing. Every time I want to share something when I'm at home, I always begin with a song. It's in my local language. It was sung by revivalists. But I know in English it would be, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Amen. I always feel like I wish I had anything to do or to give you Jesus. So when I have nothing else to do, I sing a song. And we want to thank God so much for your faithfulness. I remember when we were here 18, you said you would send us a team, and you really sent us a team. And that, I think, even increased our relationship, our partnership. Thank you so much. I can see the ladies here. Thank you so much. It's good to come back and see you. Thank you, Pastor Christine, and everybody. And today, you know, where is he? I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. JJ. Yes, JJ. And this morning you are singing a song that he learned from Uganda. So that made us feel home. So we thank God so much for this. We will always thank God for the day we met Rick. And that's the day that the Lord opened America for us and for his purposes. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. The last time we were here, you said, oh, you'll be part of us and we'll be part of you. And indeed, you have done it, Pastor Howie and Melody. Thank you so much. Melanie, thank you so, so much. We will always thank God because of you. Thank you so much for many times would be there even during COVID, and then I would see Melanie's messages saying, how are you? Are you okay? Thank you so much. That kept the connection. And Pastor Christina also kept asking. Thank you. You have been faithful. Thank you for all the resources you've been sending to us that have been shared by, I don't know, we can't even count the numbers of people that have shared the resources you have been sending. Children and their communities, even at the point when there was lockdown and people were not having enough food because they could not move here and there. For us, we'd just find places, buy food, and send to children and their families. Thank you so much. And John, whom you sponsor, and other children that you sponsor are well, and I know you receive letters from them. Thank you so much for listening to God. Thank you so much for welcoming us. Thank you so much for the love. And I don't know how you've done it, but you, the presence of God is real, even when we came in yesterday, that we felt so good. We felt so welcomed. If you came to Uganda, things would be a little different from here. Even as when we come, some of the things are different from what we are used to back home. But I want to tell you, I found one thing that will never be different. This is the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, his presence. It's the same everywhere. It's the same everywhere, which shows that he's God. He's our God. He's our King. And we came with Joanna. Joanna is one of our children, because when Rick opened his heart and God used him for us to come in, we started relationships with people. And one of those people that we related with were Joanna's parents. So we thank God so much that now we're touching the next generation. The generation of her parents, as sponsors, as friends. Now, Joanna, we are working with her, and we thank God so much for this. Thank you, those who visited us. Definitely, you made an impact. We went to those unreached places of Karamoja, and you know the impact you made. Thank you so much. Thank you, and I pray that my husband will deliver what the Lord has sent us to deliver to you. God bless you. Oh, before that, I want to bring greetings from our children. We told you we have 5 children. Now the Lord has given us 1 grandchild. So we are grandparents.
And 2 in-laws.
Amen. Ah, yes. And he has added 2 in-laws, our daughter's husband, and one of our sons has also married. They don't have a child yet, but at least we have another in-law, a daughter-in-law. So we have really expanded. Before we came, we invited them for dinner, to have dinner together, and the line was longer, so we thanked God so much for that. Thank you for your love, and we really feel the presence of God and the love of God. Keep it up, please. Keep it up. Wouldn't be anything without Jesus. And I know this Jesus we talk about, he will make you what you want to become. He will. He will. God bless you so much.
Hallelujah. Again, it's a great honor to be before you, and I do not take it lightly. Coming here, you really ask God, what do you want us to share? It's not about personal words. The one thing that makes an impact is the Word of God. Amen. How many of you believe the Word of God is all we need? Amen. Let me indulge you. Can you stand up on your feet for a minute? There's a song I love very much. I'm not a singer, but on days like this, the Bible says when the Spirit of God comes, what happens? Things happen. Even what seems impossible happens. So today I'm going to sing for you. Okay? I watched the worship team and they really did great. Thank you so much, worship team. I just wished we would spend another hour just worshiping. You know, but there's a song I love the most. It just was written by one of the Americans. It's about the ancient words. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Can we join together? Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Let the ancient words impart. How many of you know that song? It's a very deep song. It talks about the ancient words. The words that were in the days of Abraham are the same words that are available for us. If they worked for Abraham, they can work for us. The ancient words that worked for Moses are the same words that we are sharing this morning, are the same words that will sustain us today and tomorrow. They are still ever true, ever powerful to change and to transform whoever embraces them. Whoever receives them, they work for him. They are no respecter of persons. That word, it cuts across in Africa, in Asia, in China. It is the same word that is so powerful. Heaven and earth will pass away, but these words will never, 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 never pass away. They are so true and so faithful. He that spoke them, he is not somebody who can change. Amen. He spoke them and he meant them and he still lives to fulfill them in our day. I am so happy that these are the words that we can come and share. I'm not a doctor. I am not anybody that has anything. But the one thing that qualifies me to stand on this platform are those ancient words. Amen. Those ancient words that brought you from wherever you are and brought you to such a place like this that you have a hope within you. Those are the words that we are singing about. Amen. So can we sing one more time? Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Father, we want to thank you so much for this privilege of gathering together in this place, the place that we call your house. Lord, you promise where two or three shall gather, I shall be in their midst. We do recognize and acknowledge that you are in our midst. Thank you for gracing us with your presence, Lord. As we begin to read your word, we pray that our eyes, our spiritual eyes will be open to see, to understand, to perceive. Our spiritual ears will be open to hear your word, your living word, your powerful word, your double-edged word, O King of Glory, your word that has the capacity to change us and make us the people you desire for us to be. Father, we pray that our ears will be open to hear and to listen to you, King of Glory. And Father, may we be those people, the good soil that will receive the word today and go and have a multiplication and be able able to bear much fruit in the name of Jesus, to the glory of you, Jehovah God, our God. Father, we bless you. Lord, it's not about me today. Let it be about your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you have promised that you'd guide us in all truth. Guide us this morning. Guide us the time that we are in this place, that, Lord, our lives will be changed for your glory. May every weary soul today receive help and hope and encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take your seats, if you will. Thank you so much. This morning, I just feel led to go to the book of John. The book of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. And as we are praying and asking God, what would you have us share? I just felt this word kept echoing back to me. And it goes, verse 1. I don't know whether... Okay. You're reading up. It says, is that the NIV? Our crew, NIV, it's a different translation. Okay, it's still the same. Can we go together? Can we read together? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it were not so, I would have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Praise the name of the Lord. So here we see Jesus' audience were the disciples. And at this time, I want you to understand that the previous chapters, Jesus was busy doing a lot of good things, interacting with the crowds, going to the wedding at Cana, healing the sick, providing food for the 5,000. And he was doing all these many things. But he reached a point where he decided that now is the time to focus on these 12 disciples. So this chapter 14, is one of those discourses between Jesus and his disciples, particularly those special disciples, those isolated, separated disciples. And he puts them aside and he begins to tell them, let not your hearts be troubled. He begins to communicate a communication of saying, I am going to be crucified. I am with you just a short time. It's time for me to go. And I want you to understand, why was Jesus in chapter 14 saying, let not your hearts be troubled? Because he recognized that there was fear in the disciples. They recognized this guy we've been hanging out around with for 3.5 years. He's now talking of leaving us. What is going to become of us? We left all our trades like Peter. I left my business. I was a fisherman. Now I'm no longer a fisherman. I don't even know how to fish anymore. I was a tax collector. Now I cease to be a tax collector. Now I've been a disciple. They've been following, tagging along with Jesus. And here he's telling them, hey guys, it's time for me to go. So if you were him, or if I was them, I would have been wondering, is this guy serious? Maybe that's what they were. What is going to become of us? What then? And then Jesus is becoming intimate with them. Separated. And the Bible says in the previous chapters that he hid from the crowds. In chapter 13, he says he separated and then brought them to the upper room, to the room where they had dinner. And the Bible says he demonstrated to them what it meant to serve. The Bible says he woke up from the table in chapter 13, and then he tied around his waist and knelt down and began to wash their feet. That was strange. This guy would feed 5,000. He's washing our feet. What is he thinking about? Peter said, no, Jesus, you're not going to do that to me. He said, if you do not allow me to wash your feet, then you have no part in me. Then he said, okay, wash my hands as well and my head. He says, all those have been washed. But I'm demonstrating to you that after I go, it will be important for you to serve one another. He who is the greatest must be willing to serve. So he's demonstrating something. Now in chapter 14, he's telling them, look here, do not let your hearts be troubled. Can you tell your neighbor, do not let your hearts be... In my NIV, in the other translation, it said, do not let your heart be troubled. But here it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Dear friends, we are living in a season when there are a lot of things happening all around us. And particularly we have the most recent when we had the COVID. The COVID pandemic was one of the most serious things that has happened in decades. I don't know how it was here, but back in Africa, in our country, it was like something strange that has never happened. The whole country was quiet. The only thing you would hear were sirens of ambulances taking people to the hospital. And you could almost believe and know that those that were going to the hospital were not coming out alive. I know we all lost people. We lost friends. I lost a friend. We lost friends, family. Likewise here, I believe that happened. So there was a lot of challenges. And I want to tell you, I was thinking about this. I don't know about here, but in Africa, we didn't see this coming. Did you see it coming? Did someone stand up and prophesy that this is going to happen? If he did, we didn't listen. Or we didn't hear it. For it wasn't there. This was a wake-up call. God has the power over the universe. All the kings were humbled. Presidents were humbled. Fear gripped their heart. Did you see presidents? Some presidents would not allow to come in public. Why? Because there was this COVID strange disease killing everybody. It had no respect for people. They had just talked about it in China and everybody thought that's too far. But within a matter of days, it was in the Buckingham Palace. Prince Charles, now he's a king. Yeah, they had got it. The Prime Minister of England had it. It was everywhere. So this was a shaking. And everybody's heart was troubled. All of us were troubled. We thank God that COVID is yesterday. Can we say amen? Oh, I don't hear you say amen. If it wasn't yesterday, I would not be here. You know that? Yes, the countries were closed. They've just opened the American embassy in Kampala. So things have been different. So Jesus here was talking to the disciples, the 12 disciples, and he had a message for them. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. There are situations we are going through. Some of us, maybe you're here, and you're going through a challenging. You're wondering what is going to happen. You're wondering about the future. You're wondering about your children. You're wondering about many things, and you're beginning to worry. I want you to hear the word of the Lord come to you this morning. Do not let your hearts be troubled. He says what? Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. There are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. But I'm telling you that do not focus on the things that are around you. Focus on me. Focus on the Father. This morning, focus on Jesus. Focus on the Father. He's all that you need. Amen. He's everything that you need. Situation will say something different. Circumstances around you are spelling something different. Even your mind is playing on you. You know, sometimes the mind plays on us. Begins to tell you many things that are not even happening. And you begin to worry. Is my daughter going to get married? Is my son going to get married? Sometimes that mind comes to me. I have a son who's been married 1 year. And I look at him, I look at his wife, and I say, you're not pregnant yet. And I fall short of asking them. You know? I'll ask others, but not them. And my mind tells me, is something wrong? You better be praying. Amen. So our minds have a way they play with us, even when there is nothing. Today, I want us to be encouraged. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Our God, the God you serve, the God you know, if you continue to believe in Him, just know this one thing, that He's in control. Hallelujah. God is in control over the COVID, over this globe. Hallelujah. He's in control. He has never ceased to control this universe. Things may happen around you, but I want to tell you, your God has the last decision. He's the one that decides the future. He's the one that called you, and He holds your future in His hands. Tell your neighbor, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Tell them, believe in God. Believe in God. Now you would wonder, how would Jesus tell the disciples to believe in God? They've been walking with Him 3 years. Believe in me. They've been walking with this guy 3 years. And He's telling them, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Let us read a little bit down here and see. Thomas, who was the easiest, begins to say, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Then Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Amen. And then Philip chips in. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us. What does that show you about Philip? Does it look like someone who was struggling? Yes, he was struggling. All of us at some point struggle. I want to tell you, many of us, or if not all of us, sometimes struggle. When we go through situations, we really wonder and begin to question. But I want to tell you, God has a word for us. Let us not be struggled. Let us not struggle with things. Let us believe in God. Let us believe in Jesus. Verse 9, Jesus answers, don't you know me, Philip? Even after being among you such a long time, 3.5 years, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Verse 10, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I said to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who's doing his work. Verse 11, believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. And I want you to understand the heart of Jesus. He's speaking to people who are not a crowd. He's speaking to people that he's intimate with. The words I said to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Seeing the thousands being fed, the sick receiving their healing. Verse 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Wow! Do you believe you could do greater things than Jesus? Do you believe you can do the things that Jesus did? I'm asking people back there, do you believe that you can do the things that Jesus did? Yes! At least you're supposed to believe. You may not believe, but you are supposed to believe. Because this is in God's word. Amen. Then the greatest thing is, then you don't have to depend on your ability. I don't have to depend on my wisdom. All I have to depend on the word of God. Amen. And then what does he say? You will even do greater things. Is it true that the disciples had the capacity to do greater things? Yes, we see in the book of Acts, the timid Peter, Even after he had denied Jesus three times, what do we see him doing in the book of Acts? He preaches a message and over 3,000 people come to faith that had never believed when Jesus was preaching. So don't you think this scripture becomes alive and is fulfilled? So I want to tell you this morning that Jesus promised his disciples that they would do the same things that he had done and even greater works. And this word comes alive even today, in our day, that you have the capacity, not a few individuals, not just a few pastors or leaders, but every one of us, everyone that is called a disciple of Jesus, you have the potential, you have the capacity, you have the grace of God, you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be able to do the things that Jesus did. I will speak it until you believe it in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus cannot come back to earth. He has left you the responsibility and the assignment to finish the work that he started on. Can I hear someone say amen? You are going to do even greater things than this, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What does that tell us? He says, I'll do whatever you do what? Come on, you read it. I'll do whatever you do what? I didn't hear you. I will do. Who was saying? Jesus was saying, I will do whatever you. Now, have you asked? Ask your neighbor, are you asking? Have you asked? He says, I will do whatever you ask. Why? In my name. So that the Father may be glorified. So meaning, if you do not ask, then Jesus does nothing. And then God is not glorified. So as a church, we need to challenge ourselves. We need to encourage ourselves. We need to stir ourselves up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And begin to ask. So that he may answer and the Father will be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, he repeats it. He says, you may ask me for. I don't hear you. For? You may. It's optional. You can decide. It's optional. You may ask of me of anything and I will do what? In my name. And I will do it. Who is going to do it? It's not your ability. You know, sometimes when we tell people, you go and pray for the sick. And people always look at themselves. Can I pray for the sick and they receive their healing? Have you ever asked yourself that? Yes, your responsibility is just to pray. You're not the healer. You're not the healer. We always think about ourselves. Every time God tells us to do something, we look at the context where we are. But I want to tell you, it's high time you forgot yourself and begin to trust in God and say, he who has told me is able to do it. And if he doesn't do it, that's his problem. It is not your problem. Did you hear that? If he doesn't do it, it is not your. For you, you have done what? Asked. Just believe God. Just say, I'm going to pray. Can I pray for you? Pray. If Jesus heals him, praise the Lord. If he doesn't, he's still Jesus. Amen. So that takes the relief, brings the relief on your life. Begin to think about myself, my ability, my potential. No, it's not about you. It's about him. Life is about, ministry is about, the kingdom is about Jesus. Amen. Verse 15. I want you to pay attention here. Verse 15. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. How many of us here are saying we are Jesus followers? You know, Jesus followers does not stop with you confessing and say, I'm now a believer. It just doesn't stop with that. There is responsibility. And this is the challenge we have as believers, as the church. If all the church was keeping God's commandments, do you know what would happen? Do you know what would happen? The whole earth would be saved. The whole earth will become Christ's believers, isn't it? If the people of God kept his commandments, things would be different. The church would be different. Our communities would be different. Verse 16. And verse 15 starts, if, that means it is not obvious. It is a choice you make. You have to make that radical choice, that intentional choice, that when God speaks to me, I have to obey. My obligation is to obey when God speaks. Can I hear an amen? Yes. Verse 16. And I will ask the Father, when you obey the commands, you see, he gives a promise. And I will ask the Father. Can you imagine? Jesus is praying on your behalf. He is praying on your behalf. I'm going to ask the Father. If you obey my commands, I'm going to ask the Father. I'm going to talk to my Father about you. And he will do what? He will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. Can we read together that scripture? And I will ask, can we go? 1, 2, 3, go. Can you imagine? Jesus will talk to the Father. They will have this conversation. And he will say, you need to give him an advocate. You need to give her an advocate. When you talk of an advocate, what do you imagine? What do other translations read? Helper? What else? Translations that you have? Comforter? I will ask my Father, when you talk of advocate, someone who pleads on your behalf, someone who stands where you would have stood, that you do not have to say anything. The Holy Spirit will justify you. The Holy Spirit will speak on your behalf. The Holy Spirit will plead on your behalf. Hallelujah. And that comes simply because you are keeping his commands. And then here it says, verse 17, the Spirit of truth. That advocate is the Spirit of truth. The facts may be saying something else, but there is the truth about the matter. Hallelujah. The fact may be saying that you are sick, but the truth says that by his stripes we were made whole. That he sent his word and it healed all our sicknesses and diseases. The fact will say that I'm feeling weak. The fact will say that I do not have any money today. But the truth is that God is my provider. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth will speak on your behalf. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, you disciples. For he lives in you with you and will be in you. This is a promise that he will be with you and in you. Amen. Verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Listen to what the Lord is saying. Who is an orphan? Someone who does not have parents, isn't it? He says, even my going does not mean you're going to be orphans. I will not leave you alone. But I'm going to send you. I'm going to come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you'll also live. On that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he repeats this, a reminder about commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one that loves me. Amen. So it's not about you just saying that you love Jesus. Loving Jesus is not just a mouth service, a lip service. Loving Jesus is about obeying his commands, listening to them and obeying them. Amen. And I want to tell you, it takes a lot of joy when you obey the Lord. He feels so much gratified. And the Bible says he calls you as someone who loves him. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my And I too will love them and show myself to them. In other translation, he says, I'll manifest myself to them. I'll show up at every opportunity. I will be very evident around them. I'll be so real to them. I'll be so personal to them. I'll be a friend to them. Hallelujah. Those that obey my commands, I'll not be far away from them. I'm telling you, Jesus is inviting us to a very special, intimate relationship with him. Hallelujah. And this has got to stand on the consciousness and intentionality of our obedience to his commands. If the church today would rise up and choose to be obedient to what Jesus tells us, I want to tell you, the world would be a better place. I'll say that again. If all of us chose to be obedient to his commands, to his word, this world that you look at and think it is evil, will be a better place. Amen. So we need to encourage ourselves. We need to rise up. Let's jump to verse 23. Jesus replied, let's read 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Verse 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Again, you see Jesus repeating himself. And whenever he was repeating himself, he was really presenting an emphasis. Critical in our Christian faith and our Christian walk is the obedience part. Touch your neighbor and say, obedience is very critical. Now, don't be shy. Just touch your neighbor. You have my permission. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, obedience is the key. Hearing, everybody can hear. But obedience is intentional, deliberate decision that you make and obey the truth. And if you do that, the Bible has promised, it is the confirmation that we love Jesus and he will come and be in our midst. Let's read verse 25. And all this I've spoken while still with you. But the advocate, verse 26, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you. Okay? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Again, he repeats, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You have heard me saying I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you'd be glad. Look at the disciples wondering, is this guy serious? If we loved him, we'd be glad that he's going away. We still want him around. We still need him. But he says, if you loved me, you'd be glad that I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us live. Praise the name of the Lord. That is the word of the Lord to us. Amen. Again, do not let your hearts be. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do what? Believe in God. Do not be afraid. I'm here to say to you, whatever you're going through, whatever the circumstance you're going through, just know this one thing. You are in a better place. You have somebody who's ready to defend you. You have someone who's ready to intercede for you. The Bible says that Jesus liveth to make intercession for his children. Amen. Your responsibility, do your part and Jesus will do his part. Amen. Just obey his word. Listen to his word, obey his word, and Jesus will do the rest of the things. Amen. It's not about you, it's about him. He has a plan and purpose for your life. He has a plan and purpose for you. He did not put here by accident. You're not here by accident. You have a part to play. You have a role to play. And He desires you to know and to grow more intimately with Him. Amen. Apostle Paul said this to the Philippians. He said, be anxious over nothing. Do not worry about anything. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that transcends all understandings will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So when worry tries to budge into your life, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I will believe in You. I will trust in You. I will look to You. You promise You'll be there for me. I will stand to trust in You. I will not look at the circumstance. You are the truth that I need in my life. And God will help you. Amen. Church, we need to encourage ourselves. We need to rise up. God is looking for obedient disciples. God is looking for obedient believers that He will come and make His abode. He's busy waiting. I paint a picture of the prodigal son. That when the prodigal son walked away, and when time came and he said, I'm not even worthy to go to be called my father's son. And he went back. The Bible says that it was the father that came running towards him. The prodigal son was so guilty that he could not come anywhere close to his father. But the father, the Bible says, when he saw him from afar, which gives me a reflection that the father was busy waiting and hoping that this prodigal son would come back. And one day, this prodigal son woke up and said, I'll return home. And there as he was walking, the Bible says that his father saw him from afar. And he rose up and started running towards him. He did not care what he looked like. He was all dirty and filthy, but the father embraced him and he said, my son, welcome home. My son, come, this is what I've been waiting for. It's the same picture that I have, that Jesus has of us, that He's waiting for us to respond as He speaks to us and we obey. He's ready to come right there where we are in our places and be able to help us. And He'll begin to surround us with His love. Amen. Jesus is waiting for you to be obedient disciple. Amen? It's not enough for you to call yourself a believer. There is accountability. There is responsibility. Do your part and Jesus will do His part. Do your part and the Holy Spirit will be there to help you. He promised, I will send you the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When the disciples had seen Him, after many days and Jesus had ascended and He told them one thing, I want you to tarry in the upper room. Wait for the promise. Wait for the promise. And there as they waited, the Bible says they prayed, they worshipped, they were in one accord. The Bible says there was a rushing mighty wind that came upon that room and everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit, that there were tongues of fire on each one's head. Hallelujah. Nobody was left out. Nobody was left out. Everyone, because they were in one accord, listening and obeying the word of God. God visited them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And guess what happened? They began to do signs and wonders. God began to confirm through them, through the obedience. Everywhere they went, there was the light of the gospel. Everywhere they went, there were changes, there were transformation. There was a new hope. The entire region was transformed. Because the Holy Spirit came. When the disciples dared to hear, imagine if they had not listened to Jesus and waited in the upper room. What would that have happened? Nothing would have happened. But there as they waited, the Holy Spirit came. As they obeyed, the Holy Spirit came. Every command that Jesus gives, when we obey it, He blesses us in ways that we cannot understand. And He wants to bless you. He wants to change your life. Can you say amen? If you believe that, say amen. I am so glad that we have the Holy Spirit. He's not far from you. You can be friends with the Holy Spirit. Create the environment where the Holy Spirit will come in. The Holy Spirit cannot come in a place of disobedience. He cannot. Amen. I want you to listen very carefully. The Holy Spirit cannot come to us in a place of disobedience. But every time we obey the Lord, when He says to us, and I know you hear Him when the voice of the Lord speaks to you. He's very clear. He's very specific. He's very distinct. The voice of God does not come in a haze. It comes very distinctly. Each one of us knows when God speaks to us. And you know what? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, expects you to respond. And when you respond, I want to promise you, I want to assure you, my entire 35 years of walking with the Lord, every time we walk in obedience, I see the presence of God. I see the power of God all around me. Every time you walk in obedience, God will be there for you and with you. God will help you along the way in Jesus' name. Choose this day to rise up, to be obedient to the Lord. Hear His commands and follow them. Amen. I want to pray with you. Can I? But as I pray with you, I want you to consciously, let's stand up on our feet. I want you to say within your heart that from today, Lord, when you speak to me, I will hear you. I want you to say to yourself, I will choose. When He says, let not your hearts be troubled, He was telling the disciples, you have a responsibility. You can't choose not to be troubled. It's your decision. He can't force it on you. Amen? So you can choose not to be troubled, but to look to God and believe Him. This word that we are talking about worked for Abraham. It worked for Isaac. It worked for all the men that you can think of. For Elijah. And they believed it. Amen. If it worked for them, it can work for you. Believe Him. Choose to believe God rather than allow yourself to wallow in fear and worry. There are things, yes, facts are saying yes all around you. There are things that are uncertain. But today, I want you to look to the Word of God that tells us, let not your heart be trouble. Choose today to trust in the Lord. Amen. Do not allow those issues to surround you and cast out the Word of God. Choose to trust in the Lord. With all eyes closed, I want us to think about this word that God has spoken to us. I don't know what your situation is all about, but I know there are men, there are women, they are young boys and girls that probably are going through a time of uncertainty, a time when worry seems to be the option. But God's word today says, let not our hearts be troubled. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Believe in the Father. Believe also in Jesus. He is the creator of the universe. He cannot speak, He cannot promise and not fulfill. He's a God who fulfills His word to the dot, to the detail. The Bible has told us that if we love Him, we'll heed His commands, we'll obey His commands. And that the Father will come and be with us. And He too will come and be with us. He promises that if we obey His commands, He will send us the advocate. He will plead to the Father that He sends us the advocate, the Holy Spirit. Whom you need, whom I need. We need the Holy Spirit. This morning I want you to say to yourself, speak to the Lord, whisper to the Lord, say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit in my life. Without Him, I can do nothing. Holy Spirit, we need You this day. We are desperate for You. For where You are, there is life. Where You are, there is deliverance. Where You are, there is destiny. Holy Spirit, we need You. You are promised that You'd guide us in all truth. Oh, You are the Spirit of truth. We need You in our lives today. In this year 2022, in this 21st century, the challenges around us are enormous. They want to envelop us. They want to cloud out the word of God. But today we choose, we say, we will believe the report of the Lord. We will believe the word of the Lord. We will obey the truth that we hear. Jesus, we want to thank you that you promised the Holy Spirit will come and abide in us. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Come on, just speak to the Lord. Say, welcome, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in our lives. We pray that you'll forgive us where we had not obeyed you, where we had not obeyed your truth. We pray that you'll forgive us. But today we are hungry and desperate for you, Holy Spirit. Come and rule and reign in our hearts, Holy Spirit. Oh, I need you. For without you, I can do nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. We cannot be the people that we are called to be. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you, we need you, we need you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to take a moment, just speak to the Lord in your own words. Don't mind about your neighbor. It's about you. This is a personal time of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I want you to speak to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, I give you room. Come and reign in my life. Come and be the Lord of my life. I know that I need to obey you. Come and be the Lord of my life. Speak to the Lord. I don't hear you. Speak to the Lord. 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 Sweet Holy Spirit, we want to welcome you. As a church, we welcome you. As individuals, as families, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, you are the one that were promised that you would guide us, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are promised even to the disciples, and they tarried in the upper room. And Holy Spirit, you came upon them and you gave them boldness. Yes, you gave them boldness to be able to go out and proclaim and to declare and to share the gospel. Lord, we need you, Holy Spirit, to come upon us, that you give us the boldness to live up to our destinies in the name of Jesus. For Lord, you desire for us to be men and women that will live out our faith, that our faith will be a reflection. Lord, our lifestyles will be a reflection of our faith in the name of Jesus. And we cannot do that without your help, Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit. You're welcome. Come and help us. Envelop us. Fill us, Lord. We bless you, Lord. I'll ask you, I'll indulge you. Just raise your hands to the Lord. If you can, just raise your hands as a sign of surrender. Just, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. Come and reign. Lord, there are some who walked in here and they were discouraged. Some have been going through a lot of time of oppression. But today, because your Holy Spirit is here with us, because your word has come to us, not to be discouraged, but to be encouraged, not to be troubled, Lord, I just pray that someone today will be ministered unto, someone today will be set free, someone today who has been sick and afflicted, today will receive their healing in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, they will not look at the sickness that they have been suffering, but they will look to you, the healer. They will look to you, the deliverer. They will look to you, the restorer. That, Lord, they will receive their healing in the name of Jesus. For I stand in this place to declare, it's by your stripes we are made whole. It's by your stripes that we are made whole. Father, I pray, if there be anyone that is sick today, let your healing power be manifest in their lives, in their bodies, in the name of Jesus. From the crowns of their head to the soles of their feet, let them be delivered in the name of Jesus. There are some that have been oppressed of the devil. They've been committing, they've been hovering depression. Today I speak to you, spirit of depression. You do not belong in them. I speak to you in Jesus' name. Set them free right now in Jesus' name. These are the saints of God. These are the believers of God. Spirit of depression, you have no room in our midst. You have no room in our midst. You have no room in the kingdom of heaven. We declare to you that this is your end in Jesus' name. The Bible says that he that the Son sets free shall be free indeed. I declare liberty today. By the Spirit of God, I declare liberty today. Liberty, freedom, freedom from the throne room of grace. Freedom, 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 freedom. In Jesus' name. Father, we bless your name. We bless your name. Some have been worried because of the emotions that have been around them. Maybe a relationship problem. But today I'm praying that, Lord, you minister to them. Let not their hearts be troubled. Let not their hearts be troubled. Father, we bless your name. We honor you. We exalt you. We exalt you, Holy Spirit. Have your way in this church. Have your way in every family. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this church. I pray for the leadership of this church. May you continue to anoint them. Continue to grace them with your presence, O King of Glory. May this church, Lord, be rise up to the occasion, O King of Glory, that as this church stand, takes her stand to walk in the ways of the Lord, to seek the presence of God, that loving Father, this will be a church that will be desired by many, that people will say, come, let's go to the mountain of the Lord's house, for there he shall teach us his ways. King of Glory, may this be a place where people desire to come and hear your word and be blessed and be set free. And Lord, let them leave this place to go into the community and be the church in the community. As you walk through them and in them, the community out there will see them as a different and will begin to desire and ask questions. How come your life is different? And this will have an answer. It's because we believe in the King of Kings. It's because we have the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Your word says that the eyes of the Lord are moving to and fro. You desire to show yourself strong in on behalf of them whose hearts are loyal towards you. Father, may you manifest yourself strong in on behalf of every man and every woman's life that is walking in obedience to your word. Manifest yourself strong on their behalf, Lord, delivering them, blessing them. Father, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, no more worries. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. Hey, do it again. Help me here. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, no more worries. Trust in the Lord. Worry is the opposite of faith. Today you receive the word of the Lord. So believe in the word of God. Walk in the word of God. Walk in obedience. And God will be your help. Hallelujah. We'll see you smiling like you've never smiled. We'll see you celebrating the presence of God like never before. Amen. God bless you so much.